88.5 FM, my name is Michel, and it's an honor to welcome electronic music pioneer Jean-Michel Jarre back to 88.5 FM. He's celebrating 50 years of music with the release of a new compilation called Planet Jarre and a new studio album called Equinox Infinity. Thank you for taking time to join us on 88.5 FM, Maestro.
Thank you so much to be back and to welcome me today for all these quite exciting projects.
It's always a nice surprise when I get the word like you're going to be in town, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. I wanted to talk a little bit about maybe history as well as cover various things with the both projects. When you started making music in the 1960s, late 60s, did you ever imagine that you would be doing it for 50 years? Was that always a goal? How did you feel at that time?
When I started doing music, I had no idea that 50 years later I would be in front of you. I mean, talking about my career and what I've achieved so far. I think it was more a kind of desire of experimenting new territories, and I feel really privileged looking back of having been at the beginning of a new era, a new movement, the electronic music scene, where actually the privilege of open doors on the virgin territories. Because, I mean, nowadays, a beginner has, he's starting old, if I can say that, because he has 40 or 50 years of lots of heavy stuff being around. In that case, in my case, and I was, but one conviction I had was actually to that electronic music suddenly would become the major genre of the 21st century. Because it was such a different way of approaching music compared to the traditional way so far.
I was going to ask you, we'll talk a little bit more about this, partly maybe because this compilation, it's not the first time you've released a compilation. You've done many compilations before, but this one is unique because you actually created four categories within your compilation. Talk a little bit about those categories and how you came to put together Planet Jarre.
You know, to tell you the truth, I don't like compilations. I think that for me, compilations are always like if you take different chapters of different books and try to make a book with it. And it doesn't make sense for lots of artists when you have concept albums having their own story themselves. So this time I said, okay, I'm going to try to conceive this compilation album as a project per se in itself. So I by looking back, I realized that when I'm composing, writing music, I'm doing it in four different ways. One is this kind of more long ambient tracks, like the beginning of Oxygen, for instance, and that was, I decided to do that for my the first category, like one playlist. So I divided this Planet Jarre as four different playlists, four different territories. One is called Soundscapes, and it's linked to what just I said, this kind of long ambient tracks. The second one is called Themes, and it's they are the tracks linked to the melody. I always consider that the melody is the most important thing in music, and then starting by a melody and doing the arrangement around is also another way I have to do some tracks. Each time I try to find through my catalog, I mean existing work, tracks we could work together under these categories. The third one is called Sequences. As we know, and as you know, I mean, one of the main characteristics of electronic music is to build sequences, repetitive, hypnotic patterns, and you create tracks around them. And of course, I did that a lot through my different albums. So I try to find the relevant pieces working under this category. And the last one is called Explorations and Early Works. And this is this approach I always had since the beginning of my career by doing sampling, I mean, using a microphone and tape recorder back in time, and to start a track or a piece of music from raw sounds, the sound of the rain or the train or a street, and then making music with it. And also you have more rare tracks also in this category.
Yeah, it's fun to hear the demo of Music for Supermarkets and Eeyore, the opera that you did, Eeyore Blue. So it's wonderful. Now, when you were composing music, as you're composing music, was this a consciousness in your mind in terms of the different styles, or was it something you went back to try to figure out if there were patterns of different ways of composing? Were you conscious of the patterns, ways?
I didn't realize that until I was really working on this Planet Jar project by saying, yeah, it's true. I mean, I have really four different ways of approaching music when I'm starting a project.
And in terms of starting projects, generally speaking, do you treat composing as a job that you have to do when you get up in the morning? You make yourself do it X number of hours a day, or is it more random? How do you go about composing?
It's more an addiction than a job. And I don't know if it's better or worse, because addiction is proof that you have no choice. A job, you can sometimes be forced to do it, but you can escape. And in my case, I realized that I probably spend more time with machines than with human beings. And I don't know if it's a good thing, but it's the way it is. And you know, it's also by phase. I mean, I'm at the moment, I realize that the past 5 years is a very dynamic phase when I released almost 5 albums in 3 years. I mean, I started writing them before, but you know, it's like in the life of an actor. Sometimes you don't shoot that much, and then suddenly you have a few movies being released at the same time, more or less during the same period. And I must say, it's a quite extraordinarily positive period for me in terms of inspiration, ideas. I've lots of other projects coming on, and it's quite an exciting moment for me.
I was going to say, it's lucky for us fans that you have this outburst of energy, because it's a pleasure to get to hear Electronica 1, Electronica 2, Oxygen 3, and now Equinox Infinity. Before we talk about Equinox Infinity, I wanted to ask you more specifically about composition. Often I've heard stories from people who, I play on a guitar as the melody comes along, or I sing into a recorder, I hum, or I sit at a piano. One of the things I've always admired about your compositions is how sophisticated things are and how the different instruments play together, sometimes to create the melody between instruments, not even individually, kind of coming and going. When you're composing, first of all, do you do it in a simple manner, like sitting at a piano to come up with it? How do you start a composition? And then how do you achieve that sophistication?
Thank you for this comment, because I think it's something that I like to create. I mean, to create a melody coming from different tracks and coming from different elements. And that's coming from probably my influence from an education from classical music, where you create sometimes a melody and in the harmony of the different elements. But actually, as I said, for Planet Jar, I mean, I really starting a track in different way, and it could be coming from starting with a sound, a raw sound. It could start from a rhythmic pattern and sequence. It could start from a sound, an ambient sound, and then I built the whole thing on that. And it could be also starting from a melody I've hummed on a tape recorder, on a recorder, or playing on a keyboard, and then that would be the skeleton of what would become something or not something. Sometimes you I'm very bad at keeping melodies. I mean, lots of my hits, some sound engineers found them in the garbage, because I just I said, no, it's not good, and I was throwing that away. And now we became archivists, so everything is in a hard disk and on the cloud forever. But before, I was not somebody respecting so much what I was doing, and few times some sound engineer said, why are you throwing this away? I mean, it's quite good. And then it became one of the most, the strongest part of some of my albums.
And so how did you feel in that moment? So when the sound engineer takes something out of the trash and says, wait, this sounds pretty good, what's that scenario? So what do you tell the sound engineer?
Do you really think so? And I mean, he said, of course, if somebody's saying, it's interesting, suddenly you consider this in a different way, and you say, maybe he's right, so let's have a go.
And did that ever change for you, that approach, in terms of if you didn't like something, to set it aside and not touch it again? Was there a time in your career where that changed, or has that all, are you still that way?
I'm still that way, except now everything you do is forever in the cloud somewhere. Everything we say, everything we think, even everything we have not said yet, is already on the cloud, you know. So there is no risk of losing anything. I don't know if it's a good thing or not by the end of the day.
In one way, it is, and I will tell you why. Because you put out a composition, you didn't release it, but you played it a few times at concerts, called Statistics Adagio, which I absolutely loved. And I'm glad that a couple of fans recorded it at concerts. One or two of the recordings sound decent, and if you can listen to it. So in a way, it's good, but you're right. In a way, it's also permanent if you don't want it out there as an artist.
It's very strange. You're mentioning a track I totally forgot. You know, this is exactly what we're talking about. I say, wow, what is that? And yes, it was in... Interesting thing is actually something I improvised, linked to the visuals, and I never released it. I think.
Right, you didn't.
Yeah, you know that better than myself. So. Thank you for saying it.
Absolutely. We're talking with Jean-Michel Jarre here on 88.5 FM. He's got a couple of albums that are out this year. Planet Jarre, which is a compilation, and then also an album called Equinox Infinity. Let's set this up for a second. So this year marks the 40th anniversary of your iconic album, Equinox, which is one of my favorites. I think, I've always said this, if we're sending music to space, in case aliens get that music in different formats, it should be Oxygen, Equinox, and the concerts in China. Like, we could send more, but those three, that should be there.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. So tell us a little bit about how you conceived of Equinox Infinity, this new sort of chapter, if you will, in the Equinox category.
So first of all, I would share first comment with you about this project. We talked in the past together about previous projects, and as you know, I'm not necessarily happy about what I've said or what I've done. What I've said also, maybe, but what I've done. And in this case of Equinox Infinity, I'm really happy about the result. It's probably the first time. And I don't know if it's because I started this process in a totally different way than before. I started with the visual of the cover. I mean, this iconic cover, as you say, for me is one of the most iconic covers of vinyls, even beyond my own projects. The remarkable work of this painter called Michel Granger. I mean, these strange creatures, these strange watchers. I always wondered, who are they, and what happened to them? And I said, okay, 40 years later, I'm going to wonder what I would like to find out. What happened to them, and what would happen to them in 40 years from now? So I, before doing any music, I found a very talented young artist on Instagram called Filip Odas. He's from Prague, Czechy, and asking him to conceive illustrations of those watches. And I had a very precise idea of saying, okay, from the beginning, I would like this album being released, same music, but with two different covers, and like two different futures. Like the one future where human and machines are not destroying the whole thing, and then we have a kind of peaceful green and blue environment, and another one where, I mean, we fuck everything up, and everything is polluted and hell, and it's more a darker cover. And then we did that, and also some declinations of these patterns. And then when I had that, I conceived the album as a soundtrack for these visuals, and I had a lot of fun doing this. I never done that before, and I'm very happy about the result, visually speaking. You know, it's not that. It's in days where vinyls are coming back big time, and where the visuals are so important in the vinyls. It's always very, very exciting to have such high quality artworks. I think these artworks are probably amongst my favorites of all time. And then I had quite lots of fun to imagine the soundtrack for these artworks. And another trick that my record company played to me unconsciously is actually that gave me a deadline mid-July. And I worked like hell to try to respect the deadline. And it was finished, but I was not really happy with the result, as usual. And then suddenly they realized they made a mistake and I had one more month. And that this month was crucial for me to fine-tune and adjusting all what I wanted to adjust. And the result is quite warm, what I wanted. Then a month before, it was still quite harsh somehow. The mastering also. And I even changed some of the aspect of the composition. And which is different from the... I would say that this one, Equinox Infinity, is like Equinox on steroids. It's faithful to the first one, but with a very contemporary sound, very warm. And where the first one was different parts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, this one is in 10 different movements, but with titles linked to the scenario and the story I had in mind when I was doing the music.
Right. What I was going to ask you is, it is interesting in listening to the album, I could. Equinox Infinity sort of, it's almost like it pays homage to Equinox in certain ways, but you're right, it is absolutely its own composition. I've listened to it so many times just this week in preparation for today, and I love it. I do love it from beginning to end. I love all the movements and the flow that goes from piece to piece. Did you go back to any of the instrumentation for Equinox? Did you go back to see what you had used to try to capture some of that sound?
At the beginning, I said, if I'm doing this sequel of Equinox, I'm going to start with the same instruments. And very quickly, I said, no, it's a big mistake, because if I was a beginner today doing this project, I would use the instruments of my time, not necessarily instruments from a different time. So actually, Equinox Infinity is, in terms of instruments, a mixture of both. Mixture of some instruments I really love, and for me, they are totally timeless. Some of the great string machines and analog synthesizers, but with lots of also of virtual instruments. And it's a mixture of both.
So when listening to the album, I overall heard a nice balance of light and dark, upbeat and melancholy. And then, you know, we listen to movement 10, which for me starts gentle, becomes chaotic, and then ends, sounds to me peaceful. And what I'm wondering is, based on sort of the two different album covers and these characters, the Watchers on the album, what is your own vision for the future based on this experience and all the music you composed for it?
It's a very interesting question, because, you know, generation after generation, people have always had our parents, our grandparents, and even back, even more back in time. Always a very dark vision of the future. And if you look back, the future always been better than before. I mean, 2 centuries ago, I mean, people were dying at 30 years old and they were losing their teeth at 20. They were 80% of the population were starving. So, I mean, it was before antibiotics. People were could die with a cold or the flu. So, I mean, each time, each generation brought, I mean, the future brought more positive aspects than negative ones. So I wouldn't see why it wouldn't be the same thing for our future. So in that sense, I think even if the environmental issues are quite dark and quite frightening, we so far been able to adjust and to be flexible enough to survive. The main change, which is a big question mark, the biggest question mark of mankind, of course, is you have two: demography. We know that with 7 billion people, it's always it's already something impossible to consider for the future. 11 billion, what would be the case in 2050, is making us thinking like Stephen Hawking, saying that we'll have to leave Earth before the end of the 21st century to survive. So that's one point. The other point is actually the development of artificial intelligence, where we have to admit that maybe within the next years, I mean, algorithm will be able to compose original music and not only laboriously copying a Michael Jackson song, but creating original music, original movies, original books, and then where creators and human beings will cope with this in terms of even in terms of copyrights.
Right. And it, as you say that, I'm thinking it's already challenging enough for musicians, right? Especially up and coming musicians. That scenario creates a whole other, because it seems like the biggest problem most recently is file sharing. And so people no longer do, let's say what I do, which is I still want to buy the physical CD. But if it's available for free somewhere, you don't have to pay. So then shows and merchandise become a way for bands to make a living. This would create another layer of a challenge.
Exactly.
We're visiting with Jean-Michel Jarre on 88.5 FM. You mentioned that you have other projects in the works. Any little tidbits for the fans, myself and listeners, in terms of we got Magnetic Fields 40th anniversary coming up, Concerts in China 40th anniversary coming up, Zuluk a little bit later.
You know, I don't want to go on with doing sequels of existing work. I think Oxygen was something that I had in mind when I did the first one, and Equinox was really linked with what I just explained to you regarding the visuals. I don't think I would make some sequels from Magnetic Fields or Zuluk or whatever. It doesn't make sense necessarily for me at the moment. We never know. But I'm really interested by these days by more and more by surround sound, by binaural technology. So this is something I would like to, this one project I have regarding this. I consider Electronica as a side project, timeless side project I would like to continue. I would like to continue this experience of working with some artists. I have so many artists I would like to collaborate with. So that suddenly would be in my agenda in the next few months. And also soundtracks is something that I would be really interested by. And also probably on stage coming with different scenography and stage design process. I experimented in Riyadh. I did a fantastic concert.
The Green Concert.
The Green Concert in Saudi Arabia. And that was really, the backline was powered by solar energy, by solar panels. And I experimented over there a new laser projection technology that I had in mind. And to cover the entire skyline of Riyadh was like 3 miles by 250 meters high, the buildings. And and the result was a mixture between Tron and Matrix. It was really quite spectacular. So I really would like to explore this this project on a visual point of view for my next concerts. Also.
Speaking of concerts, is there plans in the works to do a tour in support of Equinox Infinity, Planet Jarre?
Not immediately, because you know I just finished a tour. I mean, finishing more or less at Coachella, and after 250 concerts, I need to go back to the studio. And but one-offs, yes, like the Riyadh concert, and I have some other projects next year. But the tour won't be before 1 year, I think, from now.
Right. We've been speaking with Jean-Michel Jarre. His new album is called Equinox Infinity, and it's out now, or will be out this week. And he also has a compilation album called Planet Jarre. Jean-Michel Jarre, thank you so much for joining us today on 88.5 FM.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure having talking to you. Take care, and take care also all your faithful listeners.
Will do. It's Jean-Michel Jarre on 88.5 FM.